In the aftermath of uni going online and the crisis escalating, LC campus and its residence halls fell silent in a matter of days. In May, I finally traveled back home to Pakistan from London, which had fallen completely silent by then. In that time, we've seen the world radically shift around us as we try to adjust to new ways of being and are navigating ever-changing circumstances. It's been a strange summer for me, and now that it's over, I've spent a considerable amount of time reflecting on it and thinking about the uncertainty that still lies ahead for us as cases continue to rise in the UK. In this time, I've experienced both personal growth and a great sense of loss, and I imagine it's been the same for many of us. Over the summer, the Beaver Sound team reached out to students at LSE to hear about what they've been up to and how they've been coping with the upheaval. In these interviews, we've talked about how they've made space in their own lives for taking care of themselves and the people around them, as well as how they're looking ahead to the new school year. We talked to Tilly Mason, Raja Saleem, Rachel Evans, Pietra Fasina, and Jazz Adam. For many of us, moving back home in the middle of second term was perhaps the hardest thing to navigate.
I came back on the 18th of March, and I've been home ever since then because I have this chronic medical condition and it's just safer for me to stay at home. So I haven't really left the house since then, which is all right because thankfully I don't need to. But the first 2 weeks were quite nervous because I was quite nervous because when we came back at that point, the government was just taking anyone who tested positive into the isolation centers, and that wasn't really the most comfortable situation. So I think I was just avoiding getting tested so that I could at least stay in the comfort of my own house. And I quarantined for 2 weeks, but thankfully nothing happened. But that quarantine was quite stressful because in between, you're just wondering, do you have it? Do you not have it? And then, yeah, that was quite stressful. But after the 2 weeks were over, I was quite relieved because then we had exams to prepare for as well. So I think after that, I did manage to catch up on rest. And after that, it's been fine. Yeah. And then the thing was that because all the hospitals, no one was advising to go to the hospital either. So I had to cut down. I also had to cut down on some of my medication, which had the side effect of fever. So that also caused quite a bit of disruption because then you weren't sure if it's the side effect of the medicine or if you've actually contracted the virus. So I think definitely adjusting to that was quite difficult. And then no follow-ups with like doctor appointments as well. And because it was quite a big risk going to the hospitals.
Well, I've been home for like, I think 6 months now. And it's been pretty nice, to be honest. I feel like at the start of lockdown, I kind of not enjoyed it, but I kind of enjoyed, yeah, just settling down again. But as time's gone on, it's kind of the novelty's worn off a bit. Yeah, especially because like in about March when we were sent home, like, I don't know, my friendship group, like because you start to form friendship groups and like kind of settle in to uni life, and then to have that taken away straight away was kind of hard to get used to. But yeah. I'm excited to get back in September, really, and see everyone again.
I think because there's obviously my place in the UK and home, which is in, for me, it is in Malaysia. So in the UK, I only got back from the UK in like early June, I think, which was quite late for people from Malaysia because they tend to have gone back in the earlier stages of the pandemic. So right now, home in Malaysia, I've been here for like 3 months, I think, almost. Yeah, and how it's been settling in. So I had to quarantine for the first 2 weeks when I got back here. So obviously stuck in my room, not really a lot to do. I think Netflix is a godsend basically for these trying times. But other than that, it's been great. It's been different, but I think I've coped pretty well with it, I think. But I think for some people, it may be different because some people obviously come from a dysfunctional backgrounds. And what happens is they're often not comfortable where they are. So I think something that I don't know if it's this interesting thing I read, I'm not sure if it's entirely true or not. Rates of divorce went up during the pandemic. So it just shows how living with people for extended periods of time means sometimes you just have to get used to their quirks and sometimes things that gets on your nerves, but you can't really escape that when you're living in the same house together for such a long time.
at the beginning, you know, there's a lot of loss, a lot of grief, you know, everyone was leaving the country or leaving London. And I was like staying behind for a while, just to, you know, make sure everyone had their stuff and help them out. And it was just so weird to be like left in London, as it were. So there was a lot of, I guess, yeah, grief and loss from that. But also at the same time, over lockdown, still being able to like connect with people, have calls like this and like check in with people. And that's really just been amazing. So yeah, a lot of up and downs.
For most of us, this has been a period of time where we found new ways to connect with ourselves, whether it's through new hobbies or interests or through taking out more time for self-care. This has been a time to figure out new ways of being.
I have asthma, so I've kind of been shielding a little bit. So I've just been at home, but I've been doing some kind of therapeutic activities, I guess. Got really into embroidery and stuff, and I've started making things for like my friends to give to them in September. I also play guitar, so I've been like writing a few songs, and I built a shed in my garden. It's like a really old shed we had. We like kind of took it apart and then put it back together again. We've put this like weird plastic roof on it, so it's kind of mad, but it's my embroidery shed. I put a load of like embroidery things in it. I think like everyone, I've had a few days where you just kind of stay in bed until 3 p.m, but that's fine.
In any given stressful situation, whether it's a pandemic or not, my usual escape route is literature. So I think definitely catching up on a lot of reading, some classics you find very comforting. There are actually a lot of articles these days happening about how the world of Jane Austen and even Charlotte Bronte provide this, because there was a lot of social distancing during that time and a lot of isolation. Virginia Woolf also. So I think definitely going back to those comforts, and then probably reading ahead for my, maybe I'll start reading ahead for my courses. Other than that, so far we've also had Ramadan and Eid, so definitely preparing for that and being involved in that has kept me quite busy. And just the usual mundane tasks you never really find the time for, but you've been meaning to do for quite a while. So one of the things I did manage to do was we have quite the cookbook collection in our house, so I managed to sort out through. And that was quite an interesting thing, because I read my grandmother's recipe, which had been passed down from generations, versus what my mother and aunt went through from the home economics courses versus to what I have now. Spoiler alert, I do tend to hoard them. It was quite the interesting transition to see.
I've just kind of tried my hand at different things. I'm quite a restless person, so staying indoors is like the last thing I want to do.
Oh, same.
Especially at the beginning when you like have like, I don't know, sanctioned walks or whatever. And so I think I just tried everything I could. I tried cross stitch for the first time. It's a real test of patience.
Oh my gosh.
I've been painting today. And doing a lot of stuff that's like been on the sidelines during uni. I have time to do this now because I couldn't get a job or anything like and for me, I think that was the best way to cope with things, was just being like, everyone's in the same situation and I can just keep tapping into that and be calling or texting, just being like, hey, how are you doing? And for me, just getting responses back and people just being like, yeah, you know, sometimes it's hard and I'm finding it hard, and we can just have those chats, and it's been really good for that. So yeah, just doing a bunch of things I never really thought I would have time.
I used to do some running like before, like once a week before. But then whenever in the UK, for example, whenever my roommates would get on my nerves, I just go out for a run, to the point where it becomes like five times a week, I just go out for a run. And especially during lockdown, when everyone also started running for some reason, the 5K for charity thing that was going on, that was one of my ways of coping. And I think another way was just meditating, which this app I think I found called Headspace. I think a lot of podcasts push this to get on their sponsors and everything, but it really is useful, even though it is, some of it's behind a paywall, but the free stuff itself is quite useful. And I found myself going back to that app a lot of times, just to get a clear head, just to practice mindfulness, you know, once in a while. Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. Honestly, it's something that all of us could do with.
Do you think you'll try and continue that even as lockdown eases and things hopefully return to normal?
With Headspace, yeah, definitely. Because I think it's good because the techniques they teach are really useful when you feel overwhelmed, even like outside of lockdown. So
one of the things that we talked about with our interviewees was the different ways they've been keeping in touch with friends and family during a time that's been especially lonely for all of us.
I think WhatsApp calls and just video, like FaceTime with my family, that really helped a lot me with the coping with lockdown. I remembered my mum would just put me on FaceTime and they just put me in like somewhere around the dinner table, so I'd watch them eat dinner and just have a conversation with all of them, which is really nice. So I just get to catch up with the whole family, even though like we have like, a 7-hour time difference, so I'd be eating lunch while they're eating dinner back home. So I guess it's kind of nice to feel that as well. For friends, we have had the same calls and same FaceTime things. But what I think was very noticeable for me was I think I kept in touch with my like friends that I haven't contacted in a long time. So people I haven't seen in like years, like ever since joining uni, I've actually gotten back in touch with them, because I think everyone's in this together. Everyone's basically got nothing to do, so we just hop on and play like video games together on the chat or something. It was really nice just catching up with people from your college.
Everyone has kind of noticed my increased presence in terms of tagging my friends in memes and just sending them something relatable. It's just something to cope with and distract yourself from the current situation. And initially I did manage to like check up on all of my friends, because there was so much chaos and you wanted to make sure that everyone was home safe. So just to make sure that, you know, they're home, they're with someone, or how they're coping, if they're on their own or if they need anything. We also had exams at that time, so if anyone needed my notes or help with readings, mostly that. I think Netflix party has emerged as quite the popular way to kind of socialize with your friends, even if you're from a distance, because then chatting with them while watching the movie, not the best, but you know, something's better than nothing. So again, like regular sessions of those, whenever anyone has time, we do tend to do that, aside from like the video calls and everything.
I mean, in terms of family, like my grandparents live in Manchester, which is like 6-7 hour drive away from where I am in Dorset. So I kind of don't really see them that much anyway. I check in with them a lot, like over Facebook or whatever. They're like the grandparents that kind of post on Facebook like every day. So it's been quite nice. Normally I get kind of sick of that, but at the moment it's quite nice to like see what they're up to. Got really into football, which is kind of strange. I wasn't before, but like my family support Man United. Kind of like the only thing that we've been looking forward to is like games, which I never thought lockdown would be time for me to get into football, but yeah, I've had a few like Zoom calls with my friends, like we've done quizzes and stuff like that. First few weeks I was like on Zoom like basically every day, but that's kind of worn off a little bit. I can't wait to see everyone again in September really.
We also got a chance to virtually sit down and chat with the LSE Beekeeping Society. We talked to Pietro Fassina about that Zac Efron campus visit and whether Zac Efron has been looking after the bees at LSE, as well as how beekeeping allows us to connect with nature and how the society is planning its virtual events for the year ahead.
Well, we wish it could have been Zac Efron, but of course we could never afford it, especially during the pandemic. But no, it's a man called Dr. Luke Dixon, a resident beekeeper. And so he's the one who professionally looks after the bees. Right. Unfortunately, though, he's retiring. So we are in consultations with the LSE estate to find a new beekeeper. Yeah, okay. Some people can't stomach working for 30 years with the same bees, apparently. A couple of years ago, he was doing a program called Down to Earth in London. And he was exploring various aspects of London life. And he came to LSE to see how we were doing to make the school more sustainable. So green energy, recycling, and things like that. And of course, he couldn't help but look at the bees. Since apparently, that's sustainable. well, of course, interacting with the bees, but also it is surprising how quiet and peaceful it is up there in the hives once you get over the buzzing. You're above everything else. You're 7 or 8 floors up. So it really seems like you're in the middle of the countryside. And of course, there's flowers that you can... You know, we offer a very unique package. As in, you know, the societies allow you to interact with other, well, animals and insects. Well, some of them are just too big and some of them are just too unpractical. And also, I think students would be very taken by the fact that the bees do make their own honey that LSE can distribute. Yeah. And recently, it was in the news in Oxford, they had a meta study that shows that honey is the most effective cure for coughs and colds and respiratory tract infections. Wow. So yeah, we offer something that sounds homeopathic, but isn't. And I bet there's few other LSE societies that can offer off-the-counter meds. Of course, we're going to give it a trial run with the virtual welcome fair to see exactly how we fare with that. But we can use it to have online quizzes on things like bees. I suppose people could watch that bee movie on the computer. But also, I feel that especially with societies that interact with nature, doing things virtually is more practical. Have you ever seen Planet Earth? You know how they condense 20 weeks worth of footage into 4 hours, because loads of the time nothing happens in nature.
Yeah.
With bees, it's sort of the same thing. Virtually, you can condense all the information, for example, documentaries and stuff like that, to replace sightseeing expeditions into something that is a lot more palatable for your schedule.
While talking to Jazz, we also discussed his role as the diversity officer for the Tabletop Game Society and what the year ahead looks like for them.
Like, our society is really, really social in that I think we've basically carved out a very niche community last year, and the people we found were really nice. So, but this year, I think it's going to be a bit of a challenge because of all the social distancing measures that would come in. So we've been planning, like, we're still going to have those in-person sessions with like socially distanced. So probably like we'll book different rooms and make sure people are a bit more separate. And we might introduce online sessions as well, because that's it's just another way of getting people connected together. I think it's just last year, yesterday, a bunch of people from the Tabletop Game Society got together to play an online board game, actually, which was really nice. And I think that's one of the things you can see coming from us next year as well. So we've got a lot of stuff going on, but like, there's one that keeps coming up is a Secret Hitler, I think. It's where it's similar to Werewolf, if you've played that before. It's it's basically Werewolf, but like the saying is just someone's Hitler in secret.
I think it's safe to say that we've all learned something or the other from the past few months, whether it's about ourselves or the world that we live in. I think it's important to acknowledge the growth that we've all collectively experienced.
Firstly, like I said, I love to connect with other people and keep up, but also being like, I need to have time where I can reflect on all the situation, like everything that's gone on in the summer, and really reflect on that. And first year, like you said, we've just done our first year, and having that time to really think about things, good to like reflect on the kind of short amount of time we had together. And the second thing was, how can I connect with people when we can't meet in person? And I found I really took for granted just being able to be like, hey, do you want to go and get a coffee? Where now we can't really like just do that very like spontaneously. So how can I connect with them? And so I've done like book swap and using delivery services to send food to friends or like a drink.
I think what it has taught me that every once in a while you do need to slow down. And like, because everyone's in such a rush with routines and everything, it's good to take time out for and spare some time for yourself. Just catch up on things. You never know what you might learn from them. And obviously not taking anything for granted, I think, has been the biggest lesson. So even the most routinely tasks that I never thought I would miss, just small things you never thought you would miss doing. The other thing, always keep an emergency stock of books with you in case anything happens, because I regret not reading the LSE Waterstones bookstore or the library before leaving, just grabbing everything.
I think a good thing that came out of this lockdown was just the need to refocus on ourselves and just take care of ourselves. Like, you know, self-care is basically the slogan of this whole lockdown right now. I think I said it before, it's just self-care is really important, because we tend to forget to do that when out of lockdown, because we just get so caught up with like a lot of things going on. But then we just find ourselves as with this huge amount of like just spare time, like with nothing to do really. And you tend to get overwhelmed with a lot of things because you can't really distract yourself by doing things. So I think just stuff like journaling or listening to podcasts, or just, you know, finding, like using Headspace and meditating, that's really good things I've learned throughout the lockdown, just to get to know myself better, basically.
I kind of feel like over lockdown, I've lost my sense of self a little bit, maybe. Felt a little bit lost, like I said, when kind of uni life is taken away from you so quick. But I've also learned how important it is to kind of take some time to reflect. And also, I think on a like wider level, I've learned how easy it is for like governments to change structures. I don't know, with the free school meals over summer that the government kind of went back on like really quickly. I don't know, I didn't realise it's that easy to kind of change structures. Kind of just like how much money governments have and like what they could do with that money, but they don't. I just hope that when we go back to normal, things will be a bit different, you know.
This episode was produced and presented by me, Angbeen Abbas. The interviewers for this episode have been Angbeen Abbas, Yasmina O'Sullivan, Beatrice Silva, and Maisie Adair. The music for this episode was produced by Brooklyn Ham. Subscribe to Beaver Sound on Spotify to hear more.